Trendy is presented for the people by Caesar Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. Yes! Or Dave Damashek, how I'm actually feeling. Yeah, we are back here on Trendy. Unfortunately, UVA is out of the tournament as fast as anybody can possibly be and putting on one of the worst performances anybody had ever seen. So, Dave, I have a question for you to lead us off here. Aren't you proud? Aren't you proud of my Cavaliers for exposing the farce of the committee? This is one of the last four teams in. That team was one of the last four teams in while your Pitt Panthers stayed at home. I say they are heroes for shining a light on how dumb the bubble process is, and I hail them. How about you?
Well, you know, what it really made me think was on Tuesday night, watching Virginia get humiliated and then looking at social media and a lot of Pitt-based fans, I know Indiana State fans as well, and some of the other teams that got left out, their fan bases were cross. And Lenardi, you know, as a reminder to all people, Lenardi is not on the committee. He just tells you he's predicting what he thinks the committee is going to do. But of course, the committee doesn't make themselves as available as Lenardi does. But nevertheless, as the Cavs were going down and going down hard, he said, you know, I didn't think the Cavs should have been a tournament team anyway. I think that Indiana State should have gone, but Pitt never had a chance because of their so. Like, he is trying to explain the logic even after it is getting embarrassed in front of our eyes. He's trying to like, well, actually, the committee still wouldn't have made the right choice and still would have done something different. Like, this is the Paul Abdul on American Idol. Remember when everybody was like, Paula Abdul, like, she's crazy on that show. Like, she's on drugs. And then she was very angry about it. And she took to every microphone around. She's like, how dare you accuse me of being on drugs? Like, well, the only other option is that you're actually just straight up crazy. Yeah, right. So when Lenardi or anyone else tries to justify what is plainly loco and off the tracks and saying like, see, it all makes sense the way like, now you've completely lost me.
Well, now I've got my favorite.
And Tom Izzo, by the way. And Tom Izzo. And you've lost Stephen A. Did you see Stephen A now says that that Tony Bennett should resign just because of the boring product he's putting out there?
Well, I now have my favorite sports stat of the year. Like, this is something that you and Hench would throw out on -3 and laugh about forever. I saw on ESPN this morning that on the real clock, and of course it included halftime, UVA went 59 minutes, Dave Damashek, 59 minutes without scoring a point in an NCAA tournament game, which means, and I went and checked it on YouTube, I could have watched the entire documentary about the 2019 title in between points of their 2024 tournament game. That is an official new low.
So in human time, 59 minutes between baskets.
Yes, what? That is correct.
I completely missed this. That is remarkable. Is that really true? I mean, like, was it an extended halftime because it's tournament or something? Assume even it was.
No, it's not. It is not in halftime. It was 59 minutes between points that they scored. Now, you tell a story, Dave, and I've heard you tell it before.
Thought you were going to say, tell a story, Dave. That'll basically cover the amount of time that it went, because that's how long it takes you to say anything. I thought that was what you were going for.
Give yourself too much credit. No, I've heard you tell the story before about Mo Damashek being a hero, old Mo, and coming in and grabbing you and letting you go and watch NCAA tournament basketball game and taking you out of school. Do I have that right?
You do have it right, you know, and I always hail good parents and, you know, how we measure good parenting, you know, raising responsible, contributing members of society. Okay, fine, whatever. Here's what I'm talking about. My mother came and boosted me from school. I wish I could remember what grade I was in, but I do remember that the Pitt Panthers had made the tournament and were in a showdown against Louisiana Tech, led by the mailman, Karl Malone, little known but rising star, a myth down in those parts of basketball America. They won the game, but Dave Damashek also won the day because his mother boosted him from school and let him watch the tournament instead of listening to the man's nonsense.
So I brought that up not just because I love the story and I love Mo and want her legend to continue to grow, but I had the exact reverse experience last night, Dave, and I am equally proud. My sixth grader, I said to her, hey, it's a special occasion. UVA's in the tournament. You could stay up late and watch this. And with 4 minutes left in the first half, after I told her this again, she goes, no, I'm good, and put herself to bed rather than continuing to watch UVA. She chose in sixth grade, rather than staying up as a special treat, the eternal darkness of sleep, of being alone in her room by herself, rather than continuing to watch this nonsense.
And you're off the hook, Lenardi. You don't have to try and justify anything. It's been laid bare. Tom Izzo's critiquing the tournament today. Jay Billis says it got all wrong. It was all wrong. Stephen A. Smith is calling for Tony Bennett to resign. I think that your daughter rises above all of that. This is one would-be basketball fan looking at the tournament and saying, no, thanks. I don't care for it. I hope you're listening, CBS. I hope you're listening, NCAA. Your tournament's going down.
Well, all we really want is our kids to exceed us in life, and I'm done. She already proved she is smarter than me as I continue to watch that pap for the rest of the next hour and 20 minutes. So, you know, way to go, Kate.
Now all of a sudden, sliding doors, butterfly effect kind of thing for me. I wish in 1982, when my old man and Mo Damashek said that my sister Amy and I could stay awake for game five, the best of five series against the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion New York Islanders, the Pittsburgh Penguins, improbably took them into overtime of that deciding game as they pursued their third straight cup, did those Islanders. John Tinelli broke my heart that night. It's never been fully mended since. What if I had just said, you know what, I'm feeling a little sleepy. I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah, put yourself to bed.
I could have been a good student. Who knows what I might have achieved in this world. Instead, we are talking now.
Be a real doctor instead of just a doctor of mustard. That is a real sliding door moment for you. So, Dave,
I don't know about doctoring.
Dave, you
maybe too much.
Unlike the committee, you are absolutely killing it. So here on Trendy, the show where we like to explore the best ways to wager for casual cappers, presented by Omaha, Dave Damashek gave out nothing but winners on Monday. He went 4 for 4 in the picks that he gave out. The only thing he lost was following me down to the depths of hell with my Cavaliers. So I'm here grinding out these small profits, but you are turning major returns. 10.5 to 5.7, you are up. And so, as usual, our betting pal comes on here, plays himself self-depreciating, and comes in and steals the show. But, Dave, you also, I've been listening to you on -3 and on this show, you're also out on this tournament. So I thought I would marry these two ideas. And so you're somebody who says, hey, I'm just your fantasy. I'm your betting pal. I'm here for a good time. I like the bets that are fun, not just the bets that are win.
That's what March Madness is, right? That's what that's the oldest joke in the sports joke in the world is that the secretary at the office who doesn't watch basketball is going to win the office pool. Right.
And you're doing both right now, right? So you're going to give out or you're going to look at some fun bets, but you're also going to give out winners. And so I thought what I would do, and I spent a good chunk of my morning going through every single futures bet on Caesars, and Caesars posted a ton of them in the last 48 hours. Please go take a look. I went through and looked at all the future bets, and they have a lot of fun props. And I wanted to run them by you. You're going to tell me, one, how fun they are, and then which side you would take.
Awesome.
You ready to go?
All right.
So one of my favorite things on here, in fact, probably my favorite thing, let's leave with the highlights, is they have posted rivalry bets. So one of the best things about college isn't just rooting for your team. It is rooting against every other team, particularly the ones that your school hates the most. You say we're rooting for laundry, but we are also rooting against laundry. And so we have Auburn versus Alabama. Which team will win more tournament games? And we have Auburn at -170, Alabama at +140. So one, how fun is it? And two, which side would you take?
Super duper fun. You know that is in the top three best things about sports is rivalry. And this is Caesars has captured the moment by allowing for this. I'll take Bama. Sometimes it's the year after the greatest expectations that you make an even deeper run. Let's see if Bama at least can string a few together here. And Auburn is a fun pick for a lot of people. Speaking of fun bets and all of that, some people think that War Eagle might pose a nice second round threat. Their path more likely ends at the latest in the second round. So I'll take Bama.
Okay. And now here's my actual favorite bet. Let's get it out of the way early, but it's in the same rivalry vein. North Carolina versus Duke, the ultimate college basketball rivalry. They are putting them head to head. North Carolina -175, Duke +145. How fun, and which side would you take?
Well, over the course of the season, obviously UNC was a little bit better. Baycott in year 27 now. It's weird that he doesn't factor. I mean, he gets himself into foul trouble a lot and all of that. I'll take UNC. They're the superior team in this season. Still, though, fascinated by where the game has gone, informed by the NBA that now, even in college ball, somehow Armando Baycott isn't enough to just swing every game by himself when no one else has, or very few teams in college basketball have anybody with the physical presence, and somehow it doesn't really add up to just dominance from the Tar Heels every night.
I truly hate Duke, and maybe I'll talk more about that on Friday's show when we have a little bit more time. And so that's my favorite bet because it's a chance to bet directly against them with a team I actually believe in. So that I think is the most fun bet, and I would definitely take the Carolina
fun
side.
Fun one, yeah.
Dave, which one seed will be eliminated first? So everyone wants to talk about who's going to win the tournament. Who's going out first? Connecticut +330, Houston +280, North Carolina +190, Purdue +255. How fun, and which one would you take?
I want to, you know what? For fun's sake and the entire spirit of what we're talking about here, where else could I look? My gut tells me Houston is fallible, but we know that Purdue is kind of sort of two. I do think that their guards rise up a little bit for the Boilermakers, but I'm an Indiana University grad. I'm going against Purdue.
255 right there on Caesars.
Isn't that what we're talking about? What other direction could I possibly look at except PU?
I think Purdue's one of the more interesting stories as a Cavaliers fan, like following up our embarrassment. We lost in 2018 and go on to win 2019. How will Purdue bounce back? Because it is largely the same cast of characters. And so do they have the same amazing magic in their shoes that Virginia have? I am personally skeptical. So I would also take them at +255.
Nice. Yeah, I like that one. That's fun.
Their last ever tournament, Dave, total Pac-12 tournament wins. Does this just make you sad? Is this not fun? Or will they rise up? Do they have one last run in them? The over-under is 4.5, and a over is -150. So you're getting Arizona, Colorado, Washington State, and Oregon.
Well, I like Arizona straight up, by themselves. So I'll take the over. But also, in the name of spirit and otherwise, let's pour one out for the Pac-12. You know, on the heels of their pigskin brethren, let's assume that the Pac-12 will also rise up and be a larger factor than maybe we might have anticipated. You'll remember that the Pac-12 ended up having one of its best seasons in the last 20 this past autumn as they walk out the door collectively. I'll say that the Pac-12 hoopsters do the same.
Okay, oh. I'm with you. I like Colorado and I like Arizona, and I think Oregon might be good for one in the first round. So I like the over on that one quite a bit. Seed of tournament winner, the one seed -140, the two seed +380, the three seed +700, the four seed +700. I'll give you anything else beyond that if you want it, but it starts at +1800 for the five seeds. So we're looking at real long shot odds.
Is this the, listen, just I'm your gambling pal. I defer to sharper fellows like you. This is not a fun bet. What are we betting on? You're betting on a number, right? Yeah. This is lame, and it's kind of sort of the worst bet you could make, right?
Yeah.
I guess UConn's definitely going to win it. Is there enough value that you're now spreading it to them plus three more chances that you'll have? Would it be worth it to make that bet to do that? I mean, I guess you would have to be in on a 2 or 3 seed, right? For it to have any value. Otherwise, why aren't you just betting that team individually?
Yeah, there's two kind of ways to slice it, right? Like, you can either slice it by numbers or you can slice it by conference when you're looking at some of these odds at the beginning. I like the Pac-12 one. I like, because I like the teams. There's not like a line like, oh, I really love all the 2 seeds. You know what I mean? Or I really love all the 3
seeds. Right, that's what I'm getting at. You're just like, I that level is for me. That level speaks to me to be like, good, but not the best, but not the worst. what are you betting on at that point?
Yeah, I mean, if you really thought that one of the lines was underseeded, like, this is a weak year for the 1 seeds or the 3 seeds are wildly underseeded. So then you could go against it once you get to the final 4, maybe when you're finding some value there. But absent like that conclusion, you're probably better off betting the individual games.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I say not especially fun.
Yep. All right. Will a 13 seed win a first round game? So well, any of the 13. Well, it used to be 12 versus 12-5. But now it's extended. The 12-5 odds are terrible. But the 13 seed odds are -130 for a yes. Do you like rooting for Cinderella in the first round? Is that super fun for you? Or would you rather see some chalk for some better matchups later on?
I don't know what level of cynic this makes me at this point in the millennium. But upsets are fun and everything, but my lament with college basketball and with the NFL, where it kind of sort of goes, and the thing that they love to brag on is the parity, and anybody can beat anybody. It's like, but if that, the closer you get to that being literally true, then what is an upset at all? And I think the committee, and we wring our hands, and how we evaluate who deserves, I think what it kind of obscures is maybe even among UConn and Purdue and the heavyweight teams, like there's just not the difference from being very good to being like, yeah, they're pretty good. And the pretty good teams really are. I mean, we really are. Don't say it too loud because people get excited for these 3 weeks, but more than it has been true, I think in my lifetime, or at least since I started watching college basketball, you really could just blindly sit there and flip coins. I mean, like, you couldn't do it because of the progressive nature of the good teams. Some of them will break through, but really you could just about sit there and flip coins and come down. If you eliminate the 1-16 games and all of those, like, nobody knows. Let's not pretend you do.
So what I like as a result of what you just said, because I agree with what you just said, is if you want to extend that to a 14 seed, will a 14 seed win a game? You get up to +170. So if there's very little difference between 3 and 4 seeds, and there's little difference between 13 and 14 seeds, and then you throw in the random variance of 3-pointers and the nature of the tournament nowadays, wouldn't you rather have the +170?
Yeah. I mean, and like, here's an anecdote that isn't even on the mark of addressing what we're talking about. But just as a, for instance, the NC State Wolfpack is a 6 seed. Because, I mean, they weren't a tournament team, but then they win the ACC tournament and they're a 6 seed. That makes no sense. There's no, they do not deserve that based on anything other than an impressive 5-day run, and impressive it was, but somehow the seeds are so out of whack this year, it feels like to me. You know, that, talk about flipping coins, it really does feel like you could have, some of these teams, you could move them by like 5 seeds up or down. I don't, that just wasn't true 20 years ago. Like, you'd be like, they're a 2 seed, they deserve the 1, were the kind of arguments we had. We had like, wait, I thought that team was going to be a 5 seed and you have them as a 9. Like, the wild swings are hard to justify from the committee side, at least as I am here as a consumer on the other side. Like, wait, what? You think that team belongs there? Anyway.
Well, I'll ask Brad Evans, because he's coming on next week. I'll ask him, but like, I also don't understand the play-in seedings. Like, how can Virginia and Colorado State both be 10 seeds, but, you know, there's a bunch of at-larges behind them. So were they the last 4 in? But how can the last 4 be a 10 seed when there's 11, 12, and 13s who aren't automatic qualifiers?
Right. And they're that's right. And they're also like this in between of like the formatic, like that's what the computer told us to do. And then also the subjectivity involved of that. Like there's an assumption built in that like, well, obviously these are not these are teams that won their bum conferences. So we're obliged to put them into our big tournament here. But come on, we all know that these major conference teams are better than they are. So we have to slot them ahead. It's like, maybe Tom Izzo is right. Then why are you putting them into the tournament at all? And I also understand the case of like, if you're the sixth place team in a good conference, what are you? You're not a playoff team. You got beaten over the course of the last 4 months by superior teams. The jury is in. You ain't the best team because we can tell that in your little conference region, you were the fifth best out of that group. Obviously, you're not the best in the country. Please go away.
All right. We're skewing negative again. So let me try two last fun bets. And then let's get back to all of your hockey winners, which you're about to give out. So in an attempt to come back to positive, although, oh God, I'm goading.
I mean,
right
the Pitt
now.
Panthers are out and the Cavaliers are out. You want me to conjure positivity around this? Come on.
ACC tournament wins. Do you root for your conference? You talk about this with Jeff Swartz all the time. Never. ACC tournament wins. Will you take the under out of spite? Will it be fun to you to take the under on 5.5 wins at -125 after they left out your Pitt Panthers?
Can I tell you something? I think legitimately that's a great bet. You know, the Cavs, for real. Yeah, and I do not root for your com. I mean, these people like, I wonder, and it's fascinating because it is now bleeding into the professional level. Like people like, hey, makes the AFC North look good when the Ravens make a deep. We're like, what? I mean, rooting for your division? What in the hell? How desperate are you to be relevant? I mean, that you're like, I can attach myself to that team that I hate. Anyway,
you get to root against all of your rivals.
Specifically,
in one bet.
This is all a weird, right? This is a weird one though, because like we talk about UNC, but okay, UVA was fraudulent. We now see that NC State, as I just said, doesn't really belong there. And by the way, one of their players has opted out now.
Yeah,
he couldn't wait through the tournament. Had to enter the portal now. Clemson is suing the ACC. Right now, as we Indeed. Speak, to get to leave the ACC. So, yeah, screw. That's what I said.
And then last one, Connecticut and Purdue going head-to-head, because this is one I love. Because I really do believe in UConn to make the Final Four. And as we talked about earlier, the PU, you as an Indiana guy, you get to fade them with some decent odds. UConn is -140 head-to-head against Purdue at +110.
I mean, I'll take UConn all day. We've already seen, like, we you know, it's a funny, like, two sides of the coin. Like, hey, these 19-year-olds don't give a crap about Purdue's strange and generally unsatisfying relationship with the tournament. But on the other hand, they're human beings hearing it from the media. Like, are you guys going to be? I mean, forget about 5 years ago or 25 years ago. Like, hey, what are you going to do this year? Do you have to exercise demons and all that? That's pressure on anybody, let alone, you know, 20-year-old kids. And so I think that is more likely to get to them. And we've already seen UConn do it and survive all that stuff. I'll take the Huskies.
All right, win, play, show. Most fun bets available on the Caesars that I just read out to you. Which ones do you like the most? From the fun factor, not from the return factor.
All the rivalry stuff. I mean, you know, if you're a self-proclaimed college basketball fan, you either love Duke UNC, so I would say jump on that one, or you love college basketball and therefore hate hearing so much about UNC and Duke, and so do any of the other ones besides that one. I like the Bama and Auburn one as well. That's a fun one. I'll put that second, and I'll put any of the above besides the betting on a number one, betting on a
son. Fair enough. Big tie for third there. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for giving us the fun guidance that we needed from our gambling pal. After this, we'll get your real guidance on your hockey picks as soon as we give Caesars a little bit of love here.
You know, when the conversation turns Stampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up. Omaha Full, the word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we are back, Dave, and I'm sure everybody's on the edge of the seats to make some money with you in hockey. I can get out of the way. I clearly don't have honors after your dominance performance on Monday. What do you have for us in the heart category?
It really was impressive, wasn't it? I mean, it listen, was. I'm not saying bagging, you know, I'm just using straightforward logic. I'm not smart enough to indulge any advanced sort of logic here. I just, you know, work from the heart and gut, and it seems to work out about as well as it does for the sharps. Okay. I will say on Tuesday, because when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. Like the late, great Jerry Orbach, I tried to ride the same trends that we talked about on Monday, which is specifically in this time in the NHL, the teams that have to have it typically are going to beat the teams that don't care at all if they have it. The nature of the sport allows for individual greatness to still break through without your team winning games. So as far as bum teams who have great, you know, stats guys, those guys might be worth throwing some money on, but do typically look at the teams that, as I say, are playing for something here. Okay. So with that in mind, it should be easy that I would take the Dallas Stars over the Arizona Coyotes. I'm going to avoid that specifically, though, although, of course, I lean Stars. There's just no value in betting them on the money line there. I'm going to go over the 6.5 here. Both teams are scoring a lot of goals, relatively speaking, and both allow a fair amount of goals. Even money available for you if you take that over. I think, if nothing else, a fun one in that regional, oddball regional I don't think we can call it a rivalry in hockey, but Coyote Stars, that's about as close as you're going to get down there in the Sun Belt. Like I say, I say take that one over.
Okay. Well, let me just have a little spoiler alert. I'm not failing any of your bets right now. You're red hot. So it's just a matter of which one I'm going to tail. And overs are always at least fun to root for because goals are obviously a good thing. So I am going to do all college basketball, Dave, which is dangerous. But what the hell? I'm already losing by enough. I should go full UVA here and get embarrassed. So I'm going to go into the heart category with Michigan State. His name has come up a lot today, but Tom Izzo is the guy that I trust the most on the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament. He's only laying 1.5 at -110. So if you're going to have college basketball, which the only consistency is the uniform and the coaches, and Izzo's just proven himself like time and time again to come through. I can't think of a guy I can't remember when he got embarrassed. You know what I mean? Like I can think of times that Duke got embarrassed. UNC's got embarrassed. I can think of when UVA got embarrassed because I can remember, 18 hours ago, like name the program. I can remember when they got embarrassed. I just can't remember it happening to Izzo. So to only be laying 1.5 in the opening one from my heart feels like a good one. They're going against a Mississippi State team that was under 500 in conference play, and if both teams are gonna be inconsistent, I'm going with the guy who's consistently excellent on Thursdays and Fridays. So -105, -110 over at Caesars.
I legitimately think that's a great bet because both teams suck. I mean, what is either one of the? I mean, what are we talking about? 19-14, Sparty. Come on, against Mississippi State, losing. I mean, how much are we going to genuflect to some of these conferences? It's really weird, but I dig it.
Cool. All right, we'll get into the numbers a little bit. What are you digging in the head category?
Okay, I'm already thinking that I should. It really doesn't matter since I keep going 100% here. But I like to slot them appropriately, per the classifications available to me. I'm going to go the exact opposite of what I just did with the Stars and Coyotes. And to show that I have many colors in my rainbow, I'm going to go with the Wild and the Kings under 5.5 goals here. Same even money available for you. Two very good teams. And I'll show you something that's a little paradoxical when I get to my next couple of picks here. But in the meantime, I do think these are two real good teams, Stars tracking probably with a brighter future, but don't sleep on it. It's going to be a real rugged one. If you aren't watching, haven't been watching hockey, I think as the rhetoric goes, you want to watch the playoffs. I do think as good as the Eastern side has been the last couple of years, the Western side, all of a sudden, a bunch of real good teams that could make deep runs there. It should be a lot of fun. Anyhow, maybe a little bit of a preview of what we'll see in the coming weeks here. I think that this is going to be a tight affair under the 5.5.
Again, I'm definitely not failing you. Now I've got to pick between an over and an under. And I always know the unders are the better bet, but God, if I'm going to watch some hockey, I do want to root for goals. So it's still thinking.
That's why I'm saying, should I flip those? That's why I put it in head because it's not fun. Right.
There you go. And I look forward to hearing what your heater and cred are. Before we get to that, my head pick, Dave, I'm doing what I should do in the NCAA tournament, my head pick, which is listening to some other people who actually are experts and borrowing their expertise. So I love -3 this week. Ken Brown went through all of it and he had another voicemail from his mom. It sounded like the team that he loved absolutely the most was Nevada. Friend of the pod, Brad Evans, also loves Nevada. I read his excellent preview over at The Athletic to get ready for this podcast and get ready for my brackets. And so I am going to say if Nevada is a great chance and a great bet to reach the Elite Eight, they can't do that without winning the opener, and they're only laying 1 point. So Nevada -1, -110. The other thing besides coaches that play in March is guard play. And Nevada has one of the best backcourts in the country, to repeat some of what Ken was saying. Their recent form, they come into the tournament hot. They played their best basketball all season in February and March. And I'm surprised I don't think this came up. They are led by Indiana legend Steve Alford. He's the coach. And so with Alford at the helm and your Pitt Panthers at home, are you adapting Nevada now for the rest of this tournament?
No, but Kent Brown did shout out Steve Alford, the Hoosier legend, of course, from 1987, along with Keith Smart and the rest of those fellas. You talk about those fun bets and rivalry bets. That's maybe a fun one if you can track it down. I'll take this Wolfpack over the other Wolfpack that we talked about from the ACC.
I do like that one. I like that one quite a bit. Yeah, I mean, it seems like Nevada is the darling, which also, like, if I was Martin Weiss, that would cause me to fail them immediately, right? Like he says, if a team has too much attention, then you always want to go the other way. But I am going to lean into it, and I'm going to take them on just 1 point. If it was 5 points, probably not, but 1 point is basically a money line. What are you going to play tonight in Heater for a team that needs it more than when they're playing?
Well, I'm going to go with the guy who's on a heater right now. 10 goals in the month of March as his team, the Minnesota Wild, make their push. Kirill Kaprizov, one of the great stars, even though he looks like he's 9 years old out there. He has scored goals in – he scored at least a goal in five straight now. I mean, that's the definition of hot. I think you should try and tail that. Jump on with Kaprizov visiting Los Angeles on Wednesday night. Oh, and let me mention plus 150 on that, relatively short odds, but I'm surprised not the shortest available for even in that game. And I mentioned the irony of me saying, of pointing at the under and then telling you, I know this guy's going to score a goal, but there you have it.
Well, you gave out Thompson on Monday's show and he scored in what? Like, felt like the first minute. It felt like I lost my bet and you won your bet within the first 5 minutes of that game.
You know what's even worse about it? I mentioned, if you'll recall, I said, I'm tempted to also counsel you to put something on Ovechkin, but that would be a bridge too far. For the record, he did score two.
He also netted twice. Yeah, but you did win on the money line on that. God, you are on fire, Dave. And because you're on fire, my heater, I've got to stretch. I've got to do something I don't usually do. I've got to try find some way to try to overcome you. And so I am going to try to predict some Cinderellas with some long odds. And because it has to resolve before the end of our contest on Sunday night, the way I could do that is to predict Sweet 16 teams. So I've got three Cinderellas for the Sweet 16 with long odds in an attempt to try to catch the ever so hot Dave Damashek. And I'm going to go with go from smallest to largest. We'll go with St. Mary's. Plus 110. They've got to beat Grand Canyon in Alabama for this bet to cash. They've got good three-point shooting, and that leads to variance, which you'll hear me talk about a lot. With that variance, I don't think there's any reason they five-seed at plus 180 can't beat two teams that I'm not overly impressed with. Same logic applies to another team that has much longer odds, but the same logic, and that is Drake. Love the Drake. Plus 650 to take down Washington State and Iowa State. Also have good three-point shooting, also decent recent form. And Iowa State seems to choke year after year in my memory. So plus 650 is a way that I can try to catch you and bet on Drake to make the Sweet 16. And finally, the longest bet, but the best odds. If I hit this one, Dave, this is the puncher's chance, right? If I hit this, you're going to have a hard time catching me. Colorado is plus 1,100 right now because they have to win three games in order to beat the Sweet 16. They have to beat Boise State, Florida, and then most likely Marquette for this bet to win. But how often does it feel like a team gets hot coming out of that first four? And I like Colorado over their stateside brethren, Colorado State, to be that team this year. So while it's plus 1,100, because none of those teams, Florida, Boise State, or Marquette, put a lot of fear in me, I love the odds on this one and my chance to hit you with a one-punch knockout in this game.
I like it a lot. It's bold, and I think people overstate that. You know, if the games are back to back, I think it is a relevant thing to point at with some of these conference tournaments when kids are playing four and five nights in a row. I also think when people point to you hear some people mention it periodically. Well, they just played on Tuesday. Like, so what? They're 19. They're going to be okay. Yeah. They're going to be able to bounce back. 48 hour recovery time and all that. These aren't European soccer players. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take the shot. I didn't. Well,
the conference tournaments were 24 hour turnarounds, and you know, NC State won five in a row, which was incredible.
That's so, right. Yeah, that's I agree right. With you. I but you know what? That was an unnecessary and ugly shot at you and Brett and the sport you love. But yes, I like that one quite a bit. That's. It's bold, if nothing else. You have to swing for the fences now. You have to start taking some chances, unlike soccer players who appear to be wide open with a shot at the goal and they decide to kick it way over to the side.
Oh my God. I said I wasn't going to yuck your hockey yum, and here you are.
Why is he over there? Like, why kick it way
up to me?
Why kick it over towards the sideline? You're right near the goal, like 30 feet away. Kick it there. The ball, don't you see the highlights? Sometimes that ball goes like, woo, it goes right into the corner. That's as good a chance as you're going to have of kicking it off to the side and seeing if he can kick it back to you so you can try to head it in over some other guy.
Right? Watch Raheem Sterling's free kick from this last weekend, which is the single worst free kick I've ever seen, to prove your point, Dave. I'll send it to you.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'll look forward to seeing that.
All right. Get back on track. Stop taking shots at me. Come on. It's mean enough that you're beating me on my own show. What are you going to do in the cred category?
All right. I've given this a lot of thought, and it, again, is crazy, and now I'm going to double down. Yes, I told you under 5.5 goals in that wild Kings game. I already told you Kaprizov's going to get a goal. Well, Andrei Kopitar has scored 4 goals in the last 3 games. He's going to get a goal too. Plus 170 is the payout. All I can tell you is two guys are going to score goals. I didn't say they're going to be no goals. Yeah, I think there, by definition, has to be a goal. So, all right, now we have 2 of the goals, and now we still have room. 3 other guys can score goals, and we still are getting the under. We're all right.
All right, I've heard it. You are now reverse aligned on your bets on 2 of them. So I appreciate that. I've played some of that in the past. But since I've heard them all, I know about you, Dave Tamashek, if I know nothing else, is you are a heart over head guy. So if I'm blindly following a hockey pick, I'm going to follow your heart because that's what you ultimately follow. So give me that over that you gave out in the heart category for me to tell.
The Stars and Coyotes in their little high school barn or whatever thing they play in now, over 6.5 even money is your payout there. That's a fun one because these are two teams. The Coyotes have some legit skill that makes it worthwhile to check them out. And the Stars are one of the teams that could actually, make a cup run, like I say.
So, Dave, for my credibility pick, I am, again, channeling my anal Dave Damashek, which I should do right now since you're so hot. I am just looking to punish a team spiritually for the way that they approach the sport. I think it is outrageous. I didn't go too hard on them last week, but I should have. I think it is outrageous that Kansas just outright punted their conference tournament. They announced publicly they did not give a crap about the tournament. They benched their players. They went out in the first round. And like, I've heard you talk over the years. You actually like conference tournaments more than the NCAA tournament in a lot of cases. It's such a great event. We saw it with NC State. We saw it with all these one seeds losing. We saw it like the conference tournaments were excellent this year. They were super fun, super enjoyable. And Kansas just said, "Fat," and raised their hand to it and said, "No, thank you." And I say that Samford goes out and punishes them tonight. I say they spit in the face of the March gods, and they cannot be allowed to do that. And so I am taking Samford, who I know very little about, but I know that Kansas has offended everybody, and I know that they're getting 7 points and minus 110. I do also look at some stats. They put up constant pressure. They play a lot of threes, another thing that's going to promote variance in a game like this. And so when you have a Kansas team, which has been sitting on their pompous rumps since last Wednesday, and they're going to come out and get punched in the mouth by a hungry 13 seed, and I only got to cover 7, give it to me for my credibility. I just believe in this, and I believe in karma.
Oh, that's Sanford and stuff. Close enough. I'm with you. I like it.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But, so I really do. I don't like that crap. This is not, I mean, a lot of people are reacting to the brand that is KU. This is not a banner team by their measure. So I think there's some opportunity there.
Yeah, McCullough's just got ruled out as well, so they're not even going into this. They sat their guys out, and they still aren't going to enter with a full deck. So karma comes for all of us. Which one are you tailing or failing, Dave?
What was my favorite of your group there? I don't want to go swinging for the fences there. You know what? I'm going with that last one. I think that one speaks to me again spiritually, and I do like the conference tournaments much in the same way I like Thanksgiving more than Christmas, or I like Thanksgiving Eve more than I like Thanksgiving. I like the anticipation of like we're just now getting to the good part, and boy, we have a great stretch of time upcoming starting right now. I like being at the front end of it. That's why I like those conference tournaments. What I don't like is when people like Bill Self announce like we don't give a crap about this. Like, oh man, I'm just trying to have some fun.
Exactly. All right. Well, I had fun with you today. Let's give our sponsors a little bit of love, a little bit more fun, then we'll get everybody on their way.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, Dave, we are back. I have my second guest express. You're going to give yours. And then I'm going to call on the bullpen real quick, Dave. I'm going to make a surprise request of the uniformant here in just a moment. But before we get to that, for my second guest, I'll finally get away from college basketball. And to be honest, if I was really trying to compete with you and I thought I could beat you because it feels inevitable you're going to beat me, I probably should have done all NBA instead of college hoops. But here we are. For the NBA, I have a new idea. Like you talked about this with hockey. You talked to me a little bit about your heater pick, about looking at motivation and trying to weigh them between two different sides. And we're just in the dog days of the NBA. And I'm just going to gravitate towards whatever the highest spread is and blind bet the dog in that, because who knows if the favorite is really going to give their all to cover 12, 15, 20 point spreads. And so where the compass would point on that tonight, Dave, is the Jazz are 15-point dogs against the Thunder. But I just couldn't do it against the Thunder team that I love for actual units. But come on, that is a lot of points for like a game. And with 3 weeks left in the regular season, the Thunder have already established themselves extraordinarily well. The Jazz may not care, but even teams that don't care can lose by 12. 15 is just a lot.
Yeah, and you do start to think about, I guess they're a little bit young to be playing that sort of like where we are on the calendar, but it does kind of make sense that if you feel like if you're OKC, we got this one handled, are you really going to just, does Chet need to be in, you know, those kind of, those sorts of considerations from that side. Yeah, I hear you. I could see, backdoor in that, games decided at halftime, but they just the Jazz linger around. That's interesting.
All right. Well, what do you got?
I'm the one who started the week doing this. I'll give me the Caps again on the money line.
Oh, my God. Where's your pride?
I don't like doing it. I don't like doing that, though. But, yeah, I was looking at them earlier, and I thought, like, the Caps, the problem is that, one, they're not great. The Leafs, it's an interesting spot because the Leafs lost to the Flyers on Tuesday night. And the Caps didn't play, but they're just returning from a Western swing. And typically in hockey, that's sort of a stereotype that after that long road trip, the first game back, you tend to not be great. Leafs played last night. The Caps got to have it. They can slide themselves into the wild card seed with a win there. So that's what my thinking was this morning in looking at it. And so I guess I'll go back to that one. But I don't
Caps,
like it. I don't want them.
Caps to 1 point off the wild card with two games in hand. So
I know. And it's kind of weird, too. It doesn't exactly make sense based on the moves they made pre-deadline, some of the player issues that they've had. So, yeah, interesting. Don't like it. Gross. There you go.
Wish we had one of those sliding doors. And I bet Caps versus the Islanders and the Penguins before the year. You're going to get nice odds on that one.
Please, I'm already down in the dumps. I don't need more. Please don't remind me of things.
Well, you're rising a little too high after rolling me on Monday, so I had to try to drag you back to earth for just a minute. But I do need your help for a moment, Dave. Before we go, I have a fan edition of the uniformant for you. Okay. After the Cavaliers shamed them last night and therefore shamed me because I'm a double graduate of the school, how long do I have to go before I can wear UVA gear in public again? So for a point of comparison, when they lost as a one seed, I put in a self-imposed ban that I would not wear any UVA memorabilia in public until after the tournament ended. So I gave myself a 3.5 week suspension for losing the play-in game last night. Do I have to put on a similar suspension, or because it was so bad, because they went 59 minutes without scoring, am I subject to at least a week or two ban?
This is interesting, because what you're talking about here, and I'm not going to attack you, but what you're talking about is stiff arming your alma mater when times get rough. You know what Damashek does? I have, you know, as you know, we've talked about it here, and I talk about it on -3 and pretty much everywhere on social media and beyond. I don't love the moves that the Steelers have made at quarterback. I've made that clear. When that's happening, I put on a Steelers shirt. When things are bad, when the Penguins embarrass themselves, that's when I find, oh, there's that Penguins t-shirt. That's when I wear it. Pitt didn't embarrass itself. They got the raw deal, but I'm wearing Pitt right now. When the times are tough, I speak up. Let's go, Mergler.
All right. All right. Well,
I want you in a UVA t-shirt yesterday. Go put it on now.
All right. And I'll wear one.
As a father, you should require your daughter to wear it.
Well, it is a little easier here in Virginia than it was in Texas, because there's other people that have the same shame. But you heard it here. I will follow the uniform, and on Friday, I will be wearing UVA gear. But in exchange, Dave, you have to eat your own dog food. I expect you in a full Penguin sweater. Deal?
Listen, that wouldn't be any more painful than watching the Pittsburgh Penguins play these days or talking about the Steelers quarterback situation or why Pitt got screwed. And here come the Pittsburgh Pirates, everybody. Heady days.
Well, did you just give me a rundown of what you're talking about on extra points and -3, or are you going to hit some other topics for the rest of the week?
I think the audience has spoken. They have reached their saturation point with Dave on the Steelers quarterback room. For the record, though, it is the biggest story, unless I'm misreading things, or among the biggest stories in NFL free agency. And the NFL is our most popular sport. So the fan who hosts that show is going to talk about it. But I do think I'll try to move on from it a little bit. Sarah Tiana and I getting it on extra points on Wednesday. And on Thursday, Kevin Hench making his big return to the show. We'll chop it all up for you. Tournament, basketball, pro level, hockey. I don't know what else.
Well, go back. If you're hearing this now, as soon as you're done listening to this, make sure you go back and listen to the -3 from earlier in the week for some more NCAA talk, and then get down with Martin and Mark on Lemon Pepper Parlay. Covered in Glory is off this week. Cap off your week with our final showdown between me and Dave on Friday, as he continues to give out hockey winners and I continue to try to make sense of March Madness. So until that time, oh, Dave, oh, the Cavaliers. But we move forward. We move forward with the tournament. Hope that you enjoy it. I'll be enjoying it, and we will talk about it again on Friday. Take care, everyone.